thank you for this time and your presence. Lord, we thank you that as we prepare to learn from your word, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, might, counsel, the fear of the Lord, the anointing of God, a keen discernment, and a tongue to learn. Lord God, we just praise you right now for your goodness towards us. We thank you, Lord, that you are ever mindful of your people. God, and we just thank you right now that every single thing that we need from you on today, that we will be able to receive it with a heart of gratitude. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bind up every spirit that would try to distract us, that would try to hinder us from walking in the fullness of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's give God a praise again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning. It's so good to see you on today. Amen. Amen. We're going to look today from 2 Kings chapter 13. And we're going to read from verse 14 to 19. From verse 14 to 19. Hallelujah. God, you're awesome. Second Kings 13, 14 to 19 reads like this. When Elisha became sick with the illness from which he died, King Jehoash of Israel went down and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha responded, get a bow and arrows. So he got a bow and arrows. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, grasp the bow. So the king grasped it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Elisha said, open the east window. So he opened it. Elisha said, shoot. So he shot. Then Elisha said, the Lord's arrow of victory. Yes, the arrow of victory over Aram. You are to strike down the Arameans in Aphek until you have put an end to them. Then Elisha said, take the arrows. So he took them. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck the ground three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have struck down Aram until you had put an end to them. But now you will strike down Aram only three times. Then Elisha died and was buried. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen, amen, amen. So if we're going to live by faith in God, we have to learn how when restraint is necessary and when it's not. And so if we look at the scripture is, as it states in verse 14, is towards the end of Elisha the prophet's life. The king goes to him for counsel because he had an enemy that he had to face. And so Aram is modern-day Syria. And so it says that the prophet told him to get a bow and arrows. Get a bow and arrows. So he got a bow and arrow. And so the first thing we need to understand is that God will always provide before he gives a command. A lot of times we think that it's after the... No, God has already provided. Now he needs you to be obedient to his commands. When we think about this scripture, we have to understand that when he says, get a bow and arrow, that's the word lekash. In the Greek, which means in the Hebrew, right, to take, to receive, to fetch, to lay hold of, all right? And so what he was saying to the king was that what you need, is available. Now you need to just take it. All right? And so in Philippians 4:19, we have this concept revisited again, where Philippians 4:19 says what? And my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are the needs already provided? Yes. But by faith, we have to take hold of what God has already provided. Then in 2 Peter 1:3, he says this, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And so everything that we need for life and godliness is already provided, but we have to know the word of God concerning what he's already provided in order to have faith to receive it. All right? And so we need to stop praying for what God has already provided and start reaching out in faith and laying hold of what has already been deposited in the Spirit. The bow is there, the arrows are there, and so the question is, will you pick them up? Charles Spurgeon said this, the promises of God are like checks drawn on a heavenly bank. They are good, but they must be presented. They must be claimed by faith to be cashed. So what is it that you've been praying for that God has already provided? The check is already written. But by faith, you need to go to the bank realizing that the funds are there. It's not going to bounce. And so you need to take it by faith. And so what he tells Eli, he tells the king to do, he says, take the bow and arrow. All right? And so for the purpose of today's message, I actually got a bow and arrow. Don't worry, these are not real. They're toys. And so he told him to take the bow and arrow. And so what happens? Elisha then puts his hands on the hands of the king. Brother Larry, come on, help me out today. Because I really need everybody to really understand what God is doing for you in this season. Amen? And so he tells the king, take the bow and arrow, right? And so he positions himself to shoot it. And according to the scripture, it says, Elisha put his hands on the hands of the king. Now, you got to remember, the prophet in the Old Testament time, the prophet was a representative of God on the earth. And so when the king had his hands touched by the prophet, that was God positioning his hands to shoot. Then he says what? He says, so the king grasped it. Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Elisha said, open the east window. Now, the east window is symbolic. In the Hebrew culture, the east window symbolize divine positioning. All right? The east window signified divine positioning. And so we need to understand that it also symbolized divine presence, new beginnings, and the direction of the rising sun. All right? In Ezekiel 43:2, we learn that the glory of God rises with the sun in the east. So he tells them, this is going to be a prophetic new beginning for not only you, but for those that you lead. All right? And so he says, and with this new beginning, you will have the reassurance that I am with you. And so he says, open the windows. He says, so Elisha said, shoot. So he shot. Then Elisha said, the arrow of victory. So the arrow of victory. Yes, the arrow of victory over Aram. What has been harassing you. He says, I am giving you the weapon that you need in order to conquer that harassing enemy. What has been harassing you right now? God says that not only have I given you the arrow of victory, but in shooting it out the window, You are inviting a new season, a new beginning into your life. Some of you need new beginnings. You need to forget the former things and see that, behold, God is doing something new in your life. He says, take the arrow, and I am giving you the anointing that you need to shoot the arrow with force. So this, the enemy is not only going to encounter you, but he's going to encounter the God that covers you. So yes, your neighbors may have been annoying you, but you are not in this alone. You are with this and in this with God. And so we need to understand that we do not strike the ground in isolation. We do not shoot the arrow in isolation. The king didn't go out to battle on his own. He came to the prophet first. Before you engage your biggest challenges, come before God. Get into his presence. Don't go out in the heat of your emotions. You need to go in the force of the Spirit. We've been talking about being led by the Spirit. We've been talking about living with the Holy Spirit and surrendering to God. And these are things that we need to do before any major encounter. All right? And so we need to come before God. And so one of the easiest ways to get before God and really encounter his presence is through worship. It's through worship, all right? So we come under the covering of the Word. We come into the community of the Spirit. And so let the anointing cover your hands before you pick up your arrows. Some of us have been taking weapons without God's anointing on the weapon. We shoot our mouth because your mouth is a weapon. We open our mouths and we say words that are destructive, and we're not doing the right things with the weapons that God has given us. And so we need to let the anointing cover our hands before we pick up our weapon. What looks ordinary in your hands becomes extraordinary when it's covered by the anointing of God. Tony Evans said this. He said, the anointing of the Spirit is not a decoration. It is the difference between human effort and divine effectiveness. The same action done with or without the Spirit's covering produces entirely different results. And so the new assignment that you find yourself in, if you go with God and let God direct your strategy, then you will have supernatural results in a place that is often called difficult. He says, in this season, you are not going alone, but I am with you. I'm directing you. I'm covering you. I'm giving you the ability to make everybody go, how he do that? How they do it? Everybody else fail, but how he gets success? It's because he's not going alone. He's going into this with God. And what does scripture tell us? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So he's not trying to figure out all this on his own. He's saying, God, I need your wisdom. I need your knowledge. I need your understanding. I need your ability to shut up those that are doubting. So, yeah, they had the job too, but you got different results because the anointing is on you for this assignment. And so the next thing we need to understand, again, open the windows that the God opens the windows that the enemy can't close. They tried to get in your way. They tried to block you. And when they tried to block you, they end up getting hurt. But see, what God is doing, he says, he's opening windows. He's opening windows of new beginnings. He's opening windows of divine presence. He's opening windows of divine direction. He's giving you everything you need. He's reorienting you. He's reorienting you. Because, see, if he allows you to do certain things in the same position you're already in, ain't nothing going to change. So he says, I have to reorient you because before you were facing a wall. Now I need you to face the opening. Because what I'm telling you is that nobody's going to be able to stop what I'm doing in your life. And so God creates the opening, but we must shoot through it. And so we need to understand that you are not waiting on your boss to give you a window. You're not waiting on your circumstances to align. God has already opened the east window in your favor. There is a direction he is calling you toward, a divine aperture and a wall of impossibility, and he is saying to you right now, shoot. All right, come on. There we go. Imagine it going straight ahead, all right? Come on. And so don't analyze the arrow. Don't question the window. Release your faith in the direction that God has already opened. Some of us are thinking ourselves out of our blessing season. Because, see, in the natural, we don't understand how it's going to work. We don't understand who he's going to use in order to be the doorway of opportunity. We don't understand. And so sometimes we say, well, God, I'm going to sit here until you make it perfectly clear to me. He didn't say analyze it. He just said do it. And so we need to understand, Priscilla Scherer said this. She said, the enemy does not get to decide what doors are open for you. God holds that authority, and when he opens a window for your life, no amount of opposition can seal it shut, only your unwillingness to shoot through it. And so now we come into the part of activation. So in verses 18 and 19, he says what? He says, then Elisha said, take the arrows. He says, take the arrows. All right? So he took them. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. Strike the ground. So he struck the ground three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. You know, and I'm going to share something that you shared with me some years ago. Brother Larry had a dream some years ago where we were at our old location, and my father was standing in the front of the sanctuary, and he had medals in his hand. And so it was you, me, and our other cousin that was in this. And so Brother Larry said that he went up, he took a medal, and then he stopped. He said, my other cousin took a medal, and then he stopped. He said, but then I came up, and I took more than more, and I kept taking medals. And it just reminded me of this. Because what the Lord is saying in this is that instead of exercising restraint for enough, we need to have faith for more than enough. See, sometimes we exercise restraint because we try not to offend somebody. But see, when it comes to faith, we have to understand that the only one that's going to be mad if you don't exercise restraint is the devil. Because see, you see here where it says that just because you struck the enemy three times, the enemy is going to recover and come back. But see, if you would have struck him five or six times, we would have totally eliminated what was standing in your way. And so what God is saying to you is strike the ground. 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 Because what God is doing in this season of your life, God says you can't just do enough. You got to go over and above. You got to let your faith be your sight. Because as you strike the ground in faith, whatever was standing in your way, whatever tried to recover and come back for you, he says, this is the end. This is the end. God is about to elevate you in a place that everything that you hoped, everything that you dreamed is going to come to pass with divine enablement, divine resource, and divine backing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We learned some years ago from Apostle Willie. He says what? If I speak it in his ear, it's just for him. But when I speak it out loud, whoever can receive it can walk in that grace. Because this is not a private message that I just called him on the phone and said, hey, I'm going to preach you a private sermon. But this is a message that I'm trying to encourage everybody in this place, because some of y'all have been holding back. God says this is the season where you can't afford to hold back. Because if you hold back, your life depends on it. Your family depends on it. And so there are things, generational things, that is trying to hold your destiny back. There are generational things that are trying to hold your prosperity back. There are generational things that are trying to hold the favor back. But God says, strike the ground. Strike the ground. Strike the ground. So we got to understand that whatever God has called you to pursue, your healing, your family's restoration, your ministry, your financial breakthrough, your city, don't stop at three strikes. Go back to the ground. Pick up the arrows you laid down. Intercede with your whole heart. Worship without reservation. Give without hesitation. Serve without limitation. Strike the ground. 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 This is truly the time of breakthrough for you. I know it don't look like it right now. I'm pretty sure when the king came to the prophet, he thought, I don't know what we're going to do. Because especially when he finds that the prophet is dead. But guess what? The Spirit of God ain't. The Spirit of God is still alive. The Spirit of God is still moving over the earth. The Spirit of God is still waiting for those that are desiring to participate in what God is doing right now. The Spirit of God is still trying to see who wants to see divine momentum on their efforts. This ain't going to be like the last time. This ain't going to be like the last time. This ain't going to be like the last time. Instead of it being like an event where, yes, the Lord has blessed me with this and it only lasts for a day. No. God says what he's doing is going to last for years. See, I know when income tax time comes, everybody get good because that boost, right? That little boost. And it gets you through maybe a month or 2 months, right? And that boost is good. But see, we ain't going to move on just the boost. We're going to move on divine momentum. And that divine momentum is going to carry us. That divine momentum is going to move us through. That divine momentum is going to crash through barriers. That divine momentum is going to break through obstacles. Every limitation that the enemy tried to set against you is broken in the name of Jesus. Because the scripture tells us what? By my God, I run through a troop. And by my God, I leap over a wall. By my God, I run through a troop. And by my God, I leap over a wall. By my God, I run through a troop. And by my God, I leap over a wall. By my God, I run through a troop. And by my God, I leap over a wall. By my God, I run through a troop. And by my God, I leap over a wall. See, we need to understand that our faith must be bigger than our fears. Our faith must be bigger than our fears. Because only faith in God will enable you to move the mountain. God didn't say, tell me about the mountain. God didn't say, explain the reasons why you can't overcome the mountain. God didn't say, tell me why it feels so hard to forgive. God didn't say why it feels so hard to say I ain't got enough. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And so if you experience partial victories, then it reveals that you only have partial faith. And so our faith cannot limit. Our faith should not be allowed the limitation of the little bit that we have by reasoning should not be allowed to limit God's power. Because he says, well, I want you to have a whole lot. Start where you are. He says, if you only have a little faith. See, some of us, the problem with a lot of people's exegesis of the scriptures, hermeneutical analysis of the scriptures, is that in error, a lot of people said, I got mustard seed faith like it's a badge of honor. That may be a starting point, but that's not the end point. See, you may start out with the mustard seed, but he's trying to let you know it only takes one little bit to move a giant mountain. You've been thinking, well, maybe I need to have the apostles pray for me, or have pastors pray for me, or have the ministers pray for me, and then I'll see breakthrough. But sometimes your phone call will go unanswered. Sometimes your text will go unread. And again, you cannot afford to wait on somebody else for your breakthrough. Because God has already positioned you. God has already released and explained to you everything you need for your breakthrough. But he needs you to believe that it's for you. Some people, when they hear sermons and they praise God and it sounds all good, but they're not sure it's for them. But I said before, if I say it privately, it's for the individual. But when I say it corporately, then that same grace is for you. Because grace actually makes up the difference where we have deficiencies. And so, take an honest inventory of your life. In the areas where you have only seen partial breakthrough, in your health, your family, your ministry, your finances, and ask yourself, did I give God my full faith? Or did I just give him three strikes? And so, what I'm saying to you today is not condemnation, it's an invitation. See, when a message comes and it sounds above you, right? Where you are right now, it's an invitation to come. When Jesus Peter said, what? If it's you, Lord, bid me to come where you are. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say, well, you got to get your fifth degree certification in walking on water. He just said, come. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he could do what Jesus did. But when he allowed the circumstances, because even in the midst of walking out your faith walk, even in the midst of walking out your breakthrough, the wind and the waves will still blow around you. People will still speak doubt about your ability. They'll still try to downplay you. They'll still try to tell you too far out there. If you pay attention to them and take your eyes off of Jesus, then you'll sink. But as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, he'll never let you fall. And so today is an invitation. It's an invitation to totally walk in breakthrough, to enjoy the season of breakthrough, to not doubt that it'll last. It's not too good to be true. It's true because the word says it is. And so we need to understand that this is an invitation to return to the ground with your arrows and to strike again in wholehearted, spirit-empowered faith. You have legal access to total victory. We need to understand, Joyce Meyer says this, she says, many people receive a little from God and then stop pressing in. But in God's storehouse, it is not depleted. His provision does not run out. The limitation was never in heaven. It was in the half-heartedness of our pursuit. And so I want you to participate in what God is doing today. I want you to really understand this invitation. There was something highlighted to me as I prepared for this. And God wanted me to have them do this. Ministers Larry and Nicole Edwards. I don't exactly know what it is that you're dealing with right now that's trying to wrap itself around you like tentacles. But he says, I want you to strike the ground. And here's, because this is something that is the corporate. So I want you to strike the ground until you sense in your spirit that God is giving you victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So God, as they struck the ground in faith, believing you for breakthrough, believing that you have right now divinely positioned them for the answer to their prayer, I thank you that this is their time. This is their moment. That the resources that they need are being aligned into their lives right now. We thank you, Lord, that the people that they've been praying for deliverance, that right now, you're right now speaking to their heart, changing their heart and their mind. Lord, you're giving them that opening of clarity where they can acknowledge you as Lord. That they'll come to the Edwards and say, I just don't know. I just feel like something's different. Thank you, Lord, that their children and their grandchildren can experience the results of what they've done prophetically right now, that they can experience that total and complete victory. We thank you, Lord, even businesses, God. We thank you, Lord, God, for divine positioning and strategy for the businesses, aligning them with the right opportunities, the right doors, that they'll hear you say, this is the way, walk in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That they'll never stop with just enough, but they'll keep on moving into more than enough. Thank you, Lord. That all their dreams, that right now you're showing them that you're endorsing their dreams. You're endorsing their ideas because their ideas have been inspired by you. Every moment of doubt is being forgotten, and it'll only move in faith. You have not forgotten the prayers that have been prayed, the tears that have been sown, believing you, trusting in you. Even in the area of healing, thank you, Lord, for total and complete healing in their house, over their bodies. I speak even to the cellular level, the healing that Jesus paid for on Calvary belongs to them. And as they experience healing, not only physical healing, but healing of the soul, the mind, and the will, the emotions, that you will use them. You will use them to unlock healing in the lives of other people. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a praise. So as I close, I want to encourage you, don't stop until the enemy is totally annihilated. Don't stop until you see the results of what you have prayed for. When the enemy tries to show up, I want you to remember to strike the ground. Sometimes it can be arrows. Sometimes it needs to be your feet to remind him where he belongs. And so I want with this declaration. Today, I declare that I will not hold back my faith, my praise, or my pursuit of God. I take up every arrow God has placed in my hand, and I strike the ground of his promise with wholehearted, spirit-empowered faith. I will not for partial victory. I am covered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I will strike again and again until every enemy is defeated and every promise of God is fully manifested in my life. The east window is open. The victory belongs to the Lord. I strike the ground in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Perhaps there's a person or persons who you want to experience.
Hey, Pastor Steve Talbert here, and if today's message was impactful for you, and you said, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ, then I want you to just pray this prayer with me, because the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth, in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. And so right now, if you don't know what to pray, then pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead on the third day. And because you got up, I have new life in Christ. If you prayed that prayer, then what I want you to do is I want you to reach out to our ministry at events@ylmconnect.org, and we want to send you some resources to start your discipleship journey. And also, I want to encourage you to join us here on Sundays at 11:30 a.m., all right? And then join us for our Bible studies. And our Bible studies are on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Right now, we're actually doing them virtually. So definitely make sure that you send us your contact information. You can DM us in our boxes there, or you can send an email to events@ylmconnect.org. And what we'll do is we'll make sure that you have the most up-to-date information on how you can connect with us. And so once again, I am so excited that you made the decision today to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I also want to give you an opportunity, if you have any prayer needs, to actually email us again at events@ylmconnect.org. Send us your prayer request so that we can touch and agree with you for your breakthrough. And so I am Pastor Steve Talbert. On behalf of myself, my wife, Melissa Talbert, and our overseers, Dr. Willie and Dr. Mamie Talbert, and the entire Yes Lord Ministries Church family, we're so happy that you made this decision today. And we want to say to you, welcome home. God bless you.
Stay connected and grow in your faith with our mobile app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store today. Join us for weekly services at 11:30 each Sunday morning. Our location is 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Every Wednesday morning from 5:30 a.m. to 5:45 a.m. join us for corporate prayer. Our call-in number is 716-427-1096, and the access code is 172268#. Every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, join us for our midweek Bible encounter. We are currently meeting virtually during the winter months. Partner with YLM financially using the following methods. The YLM mobile app. Text give to 1-844-948-3895. Cash app $YesLordM. On Givelify, search for Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Our website. Visit www.ylmconnect.org and click donate. Mail checks and money orders to Yes Lord Ministries, Post Office Box 425, Union, New Jersey 07083.